This is WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our guest this morning is Superintendent of Schools Brian Davis. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Duke.
Good to have you here again.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Yes. Well, you're going to tell us all about the school and what's going on in the school, and apparently things are going all right.
Things are going really well, and you know, even though that we are not officially in session currently today, we are in session. In fact, we have three different summer school programs going on right now, so our buses are out picking up kids. They're in the classrooms learning, and teaching continues, and we want to make sure that that is always advancing the academic achievement of our students and programs.
Yeah, well, let's start out with what's happening in Lansing, will affect school funding. That's very important, too, to our schools.
Very important. You know, certainly our state is not immune to the continued economic challenges that are occurring across our country. And recently, the governor signed into law the school aid fund as part of the total fiscal budget for 14-15. It's kind of a fun day because I was actually there in Lansing when the school aid bill was signed. They invited our robotics team to be there that day because it also included in the school aid bill, some additional funding and continued support for the robotics program across our state. And so our team, as well as a couple other teams from the state, were invited to do a little robotics showcase, of course, with Holland and our combined team with some of our Black River friends. We're world champions this year. Of course, our world champion counterpart from the east side of the state was there and some other state champions. And it was a neat thing to be there for the kids to see laws sign into action, to be able to interact with different House and Senate members and have some conversations with Lieutenant Governor. And Governor Snyder spent quite a bit of time actually talking with our students about the robotics program and the importance and value of it. And they took away, I think, a really great learning experience from that. But the fiscal budget is all set into play. Our Board of Education passed our bond, passed our budget, at our June meeting. Certainly, we're still not without challenge as it relates to the budgets for next year. Even though schools, many schools received additional funding for this next coming school year, a significant amount of that funding is going to be sent right back to the state with respect to continue to help with the liability related to the retirement system.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that continues to be a real challenge for our state. You know, back in 1995 and 94, when Proposal A first came into being, the impact of the retirement rate on school districts was at 14%. So that means for every dollar that you paid out in salary, an additional 14 cents had to be sent back into the state for the retirement system. We're now at, for this coming year, looking at 36%. That means for every dollar you pay out in wages, 36% or 36 cents has to go back for this retirement system.
And I have a call on the line.
You have a call on the line. Okay, sure.
Good morning. You're online with the superintendent.
Good. I would like to ask him to explain the difference in going to Holland High on Van Ralty or going to the old Longfellow School, that tech.
Sure.
So I'd like to have an understanding of what the difference is.
Sure, would be happy to explain the understanding. So we have three secondary program options for students to be able to earn their pathway to a diploma and or to an associate's degree. And so at Holland High School is going to be your more traditional high school program that many of us experienced when we were in school. So you're going to have your full access to all the extracurricular programs and athletics and your elective classes, our honors and advanced placement classes that have been recognized by the AP College Board, and be able to earn some dual college enrollment credit. We have a one-to-one environment at Holland High School where the students all have iPads and are beginning to engage in more problem-based learning, where students are receiving less lecture style and more engagement in terms of working on smaller projects, although there still is quite a bit of blend of that more traditional style and approach to learning that you and I might have experienced when we were in school. At New Tech is a program that is in a one-to-one environment as well. Students all have Chromebooks in that environment. But rather than having a traditional-based classroom where the teacher is more of the provider of information, at New Tech the students are engaged in what we call project-based learning. So everything is introduced through a project whereby students are solving real-world problems and incorporating the academic content that they have to master. So an example would be some of our students have been working on a project with the City of Holland in terms of their long 40-year energy sustainability plan. And we had students actually interfacing with a colleague in South Korea who was doing carbon footprinting and the impact of industry on the environment. The students then incorporated their principles of government, English, science, and math, and actually studied and assessed the carbon footprint of Prospect Park and the impact on trees of the park in the neighborhood and how that impacts a community and neighborhood. So it's a different approach where you start with a real-world problem that you want to solve. The students do a lot of research, a lot of presentation, and then do projects that are then shared back to the community in a way that can perhaps make a difference. The students at New Tech also have full access to all the extracurricular programs that from athletics and so on that our high school students have. The other change for New Tech this fall is we're going to be launching our early college program. So juniors next year will be able to be duly enrolled at both Holland Public Schools and through Muskegon Community College. And over the next 3 years, they will be earning their high school diploma and an associate's degree in one of 27 different degree-granting programs, leading to one of 3 different associate degrees. So that's something new at New Tech that will distinguish it from Holland High School. VR Tech is our alternative high school program. And this is for students that, for whatever life circumstances that may have gotten into their life, for whatever reason, they became behind in achieving their high school credits. It could have been due to an illness. It could have been to a number of moves. It could have been to some attendance or truancy issues, regardless of the fact they've become credit deficient. And this is an ability for students to work in an online learning capacity with direct teacher support to be able to credit recover and to get back on track towards graduation, or in some cases, take a fifth year to be able to work to earn their high school diploma. The diploma that students receive from New Tech or Holland High School is a Holland High School diploma. The diploma that students receive at VR Tech is a Holland Public Schools diploma, because they don't need to earn at VR Tech all of the additional elective credits that are required between New Tech and Holland High. They're earning the basic Michigan Merit curriculum. That being said, we've been following our graduates from VR Tech, and we have over 90% rate of students going into the military, employment, or enrolling directly into a post-secondary community college and then transferring those credits into a 4-year university. The difference between VR Tech and the other two programs is that VR Tech, when you finish your graduation requirements, you are set to exit that day. It's not about having to wait till the end of the school year. So students can work on their coursework 24/7 because it's through an online capability, and once they're able to finish a class, they're able to move on to the next one. In some cases, we've had students finish 12 to 14 classes in 1 year. So it's not about students not having the academic skills to be able to move forward and receive a regular high school diploma. It's about life circumstances contributed to them getting behind in some way, and here's a way for them to catch back up. So that's kind of the three distinguishing factors between the three programs.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. And I appreciate the question, because we get asked that quite a bit of time. What's the difference between those programs? And, very proud of what's happened at VR Tech. We've had over 200 graduates since that program started, and about 40% of the students at VR Tech are school of choice students. So we have them coming from all the districts that touch Holland Public Schools or even within the boundaries of Holland Public. And these are young people that would have otherwise maybe not have had a chance to get to a high school diploma. And we know that impacts community from careers, from job opportunities, from raising a family, from lifestyles and earning income potential. And these are 200 young people that we're very proud of that are moving on and going to be effective contributors and good people and good civic leaders and responsible citizens in our community. So,
thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. All right, 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to talk to the superintendent. This morning we were talking about the money from the state.
We were talking about the money, and where we left off before we had that great call was, the retirement rate and impact. And so what's happened is the legislature has worked very hard to pass legislation with PA 300 of 2012 to hold that rate that districts have to pay at 26%. So for every dollar I pay out in salary, 26 cents has to go back to the state to pay for this retirement system. And then the state is filling in the difference between that 26 and 32%. That's where the additional money that we receive this year is going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not additional money that we're receiving that's going to be invested back into the classroom. It's additional money that's going to go and help offset these retirement costs that are constitutionally protected right now to public school employees, same way with other public services. And unfortunately, that rate is set to increase over time to 36% before leveling out to 34%. So we still have a real financial challenge in Lansing and how that equates to schools. So while we are receiving more money, it's being used for a specific purpose. Yeah. I often get asked the question, how does that impact other schools in our area, specifically charter schools like a Black River? And Black River receives the same foundation grant that Holland Public Schools receives. So I receive a foundation grant, let's say, for round numbers of $7,000. Black River also receives that same $7,000. The difference is Black River does not have to participate in that same retirement system.
I see.
So Shannon Brunick, good friend of mine, we're doing a lot of collaborative things together, and his board aren't challenged with the task of, okay, for every dollar we receive, we have to send 26 cents back to the state. They have their own retirement system that they've done through a 401k system, I believe, with their teachers, but they're able to manage that cost and control that cost, and it's not as expensive as ours, and they have some greater flexibility with that. Mine is define what it has to be. So the money that Black River receives in terms of that $175, they have a little bit more options of what they can use that for and some flexibility within that. So that's just one of the slight differences between the two organizations here within our community. But one of the things I'd like to encourage individuals to do, there is a primary election coming up just around the corner here on August 5.
Yeah.
And the importance of that is for voters to get educated on a ballot initiative. It's called Proposal 1. And it's going to be very important that they don't confuse this with Proposal A, which was back in 1994.
Yeah.
That significantly impacted school funding. Proposal 1 is being endorsed by area superintendents. It's being endorsed by our state association. It's being endorsed by the Michigan School Business Officials. It's endorsed by our Chamber of Commerce. It's endorsed by the Michigan Association of School Boards. And basically what Proposal 1 is seeking to do is to provide personal property tax relief to our businesses across the state, and in doing so, being able to constitutionally protect that revenue that would be lost from the personal property tax that would go to municipalities like schools. So you have a business in town, and you have property inside your business. You buy different equipment to make your business operate. You are taxed on that property. In addition to your regular property, you're taxed on that personal property, things on the inside. That certainly creates a hardship for small businesses, large corporations, to continue to function and do. The revenue from that has been used to help support schools. There was a movement not so long ago to eliminate the personal property tax to provide very much needed relief to our industry and our state and our growing economy, but there was an identified funding stream to then to offset what schools or other public municipalities would lose. What Proposal 1 seeks to do is to provide that relief through the personal property tax, but constitutionally guarantee that the a portion of the state use tax then would have to be used to replace that revenue to schools. So it shifts a funding piece and guarantees that funding. That's the best solution that's been able to come up with at this point in time to help protect that funding for our public municipalities. And that's why I personally believe that that's a good move to make. If this ballot initiative doesn't pass, our fear would be from a school standpoint is that they will still work to eliminate the personal property tax, but then there's an unidentified funding source to replace that revenue to schools and other public municipalities. So this would actually constitutionally protect that, and they would have to do that by using a portion of the state's use tax. So it's important for individuals to learn more about Proposal 1. The Chamber of Commerce has information about it, and there's a lot of different sites if you Google that to get the facts around that.
We're here with the superintendent of schools this morning, and if you have questions, 395-1450 is the number. We're in refunding bonds.
You know, Juke, it's we just talked about some of the challenges from a funding issue with schools, but I have some good news for the taxpayers here in Holland. You know, back in 2010, our community really came out in a very positive way, very publicly supported way, and supported our bonds that we passed. And through that time, our construction is coming near completion now. We'll be finished up in November with the administrative addition on to Holland High School. We've been on budget in all of our projects. We've been on time and in many cases ahead of schedule, and we've been on vision with that. And we've received so much public support and continued allocates from national state awards on what we've done. But also what's more important is the individual comments that I hear from community members to say, you did what you said you were going to do. We really like what you've done, and you have a plan on how to continue to maintain those over time. What's happened is because when we did this, it was the right time to invest because there were Build America bonds that were available back in 2010, which totaled about $55.1 million of our overall bond package. These were government-issued bonds that we were able to take advantage of and to provide some significant relief to the taxpayer at that time. Those bonds now have had the opportunity to be recalled or refinanced or repurposed, and our Board of Education recently did that. So we refinanced $55.1 million of our total $73 million bond, and that total present value savings is about 3.47%, or a little over $3 million. The total average interest rate is about 3.5% on that. What does that all mean? That means as you begin to receive your next tax bills and you see your school aid or your school debt on your tax bill, over the timeline of these refunded bonds, we're going to save about 1.7 mils. So that's pretty significant because we were just about 6.9 mils when we added the new debt onto our school debt when we had back in 1988, the last bond. We're going to be able to, over the lifetime, save the taxpayer about 1.7 mils with that refunding. So again, it's another example of the way our board and my team has been looking at how do we bring great value to our school system, how do we bring great facilities to support great instruction in the classroom, and then how do we look at all of the opportunities to refinance those to save our taxpayers money. And we know that's very important because everyone's checkbook is stretched right now. Fortunately, the price of gas has dropped down to a little bit, $3.43, I think it was this morning. That helps, but I know taxes are a significant piece, especially on our homes and our property. So we're glad to be able to do that and pass those savings on to our community.
Okay. Two new board members.
We have two new board members that were just sworn in last week to the Board of Education. I certainly want to thank Trustee Ed Walters for his service on the board and Trustee Jack Geisinger. They served for a number of years and made great contributions to the district. Both of them were instrumental on the Finance and Property Committee of being able to oversee the expenditure of our capital projects over the past 4 years, and certainly wish them both well in their continuing contributions to the community. But we welcome back Susan DeYoung. Susan DeYoung is no stranger to Holland Public Schools. She served on the board for 8 years prior. She was very active in the athletic boosters and different academic programs, and, of course, with her two sons that went through Holland High. Went on to the University of Michigan and swam at the collegiate level and did a lot of great things. Susan was called back to serve the community again, and she has been appointed to fill Jack Geisinger's role on the board. And she will be running for re-election in November for that seat. And many people may know Susan. She oversees leadership at the Warm Friend. We're also welcoming Janet DeYoung to our school board. Janet DeYoung is no stranger to the community as well. Janet is the former CEO of the Community Foundation of the Holland Zeeland area. Janet is very involved in the community on a number of initiatives, a number of boards. Her most recent work, including work with Destination Education and the whole Cradle to Career initiative that combines the look at preschool and ready for school experiences. She's been very active with the ready for school component all the way up to this early college model and post-secondary training. Janet's students also graduated from Holland High School and very invested in our community, very invested in public education. What does that look like? And how do we look at a continuum of services across the board from preschool through that post-secondary training? Janet will also be running for re-election as well in November. So just excited to have those two individuals. I call them DeYoung and DeYoung, even though their names are spelled slightly different. But two great additions that will provide stability and leadership to Holland Public Schools.
We're talking to the superintendent of schools today here, and you have some leadership additions in the VR Tech and Holland New Tech.
Yeah, we do. We are pleased to welcome Andrea Mihal to Holland Public Schools. Andrea is coming to us. She's a former Michigan native, but has been down in Arizona working for the past several years in an early college academy there. And so we're very excited to bring her knowledge and expertise to Holland Public Schools. She will be our new director of Holland New Tech, and it's timely for her to come in and take on that leadership role, given her experience in Arizona, working with very diverse communities, working with the early college model that I talked about a little bit earlier, where students are able to graduate from high school, not only with their high school diploma, but also an associate's degree. And she has a strong background in that project-based learning that I talked about as well. Her family is here, and her husband is on the faculty at Grand Valley State University. And so that's nice, too, because we automatically have that bonus in terms of having a connection to some post-secondary institution.
Nice to have
knowledge
a connection
that way.
Like that.
It is very nice to have that. And so we're very excited to welcome her to the community. And then Aaron Slider, we just hired to come on as our Dean of Students at VR Tech. We just talked about that program earlier. Aaron is no stranger in the Holland community. She was the former director of Wavecrest Career Academy. Wavecrest Career Academy was another alternative high school here in the city of Holland that was chartered through the Ottawa Area Intermediate School District that served all of our local school districts. Over time, as our local districts have begun to provide their own local programming, that impacted the enrollment at Wavecrest Career Academy over time, and a decision, unfortunately, was made to close that school. The good news was the other local high schools and districts were beginning to provide that level of service at the local level. And we recognized the opportunity to bring Erin into our program, and so we're excited to welcome her and her strength and knowledge of not only the community, but the needs of alternative high school students. So two great additions to the Holland Public School team.
Yeah. All right. And you are entering your seventh back-to-school season as Holland School Superintendent.
It's hard to believe.
It is, isn't it?
It is very hard to believe. You know, I've been in Holland since 2000 now, and when I look back on all that's happened since 2000, there's a lot of great highs, and there's also some times where there's some great challenges.
Yeah.
I'm actually working on my PhD right now, and my dissertation is on why mothers choose traditional public education as opposed to private or charter schools.
Yeah.
Especially during public school criticism, times of huge reform and change and economic challenge. And the moms that are actually part of my study are those that had seniors who graduated this year and have been enrolled in Holland since kindergarten. So they have experienced the focus schools. They experienced the closure of neighborhood schools. They experienced the move to the K-3s and the 4-5 configuration. They experienced being the first 8th grade class at Holland High School. They experienced the choice between New Tech and Holland High. And so my impetus for this study is to be able to understand, so given all of those changes, why did you stay in Holland Public Schools? Why did, when you have a lot of other choices? And it's been very interesting to listen to their stories and to have them recount all the different experiences that have happened over that point of time. Now, I'm only halfway through my data analysis at this point, but what's come through loud and clear for those that have stayed in Holland Public Schools are basically three things. One is they recognize the value and impact on community. And being able to support your local public schools, have your children in their same neighborhoods, attending the same schools, being able to walk to school together, ride the bus together, be in the same classes together, that strength of community, whether that's relationships and friendships with parents, relationships and friendships of their kids. So that was a strong component with that. Secondly is the quality of our teaching staff in Holland. Recognizing that we have amazing teachers across the board. We have amazing support staff too, but the teachers have been recognized specifically through this study in how really knowing who their kids are, knowing the needs of their learners, being able to provide the appropriate levels of academic rigor and challenge, and to be able to support their students through this. Whether it be through our special education programs, their alternative high school program, or through our advanced placement honors programs. So the quality of instruction and quality of programs has come through loud and clear with that as well. And I think the other piece is the parents, at least so far that have been part of this, recognizing that change is inevitable. And through change often comes some great benefit and value from that. And how do we as adults be open-minded to that? We may have experienced this ourselves when we went through school. We recognize the larger economic challenges and problem solvers. But what I've heard loud and clear is parents really want to be involved in that process. And some of the earlier decisions that were made in the district years back weren't as open and transparent as what I'm really trying to be now. The communication that's being provided, being trying to involve parents as much as we can in those decision-making processes, understand the reasons behind it, what options we've explored, here's the research to substantiate or the rationale why, and how we think that's going to impact your learner. And that's what I found that parents most appreciate. They want to be heard. They want to be listened to. They want to understand, and they want to be part of the solution if they can and offer suggestions or ideas. So it's been great to hear about that and to have so many moms and whose kids who have stayed with us through all those challenges. And at the end, everyone's saying, my kid had a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned a lot of flexibility along the way, a lot of resiliency, But they've been able to work and graduate from a school district. They feel very prepared to go on to that next level of training or career or job. And the other thing that came through loud and clear was the value and respect for diversity. Interestingly enough, a number of the mothers were private school graduates themselves. And there's always that added pressure of, if you were a private school student, do you send your kids to private school? What do your parents themselves or the kids' grandparents think about that? And recognizing that they wanted to ensure that their students had a more diverse experience than what they had in schools, whether it be an economic diversity, ethnic diversity, and so on. So that's a real strength of our school system as well, that's being recognized by those individuals that have gone through the entire system. So it's great to see that happening, and I'm going to carry that information forward in my seventh year as superintendent to continue to be more inclusive, to try to listen more, communicate more, understand what the issues are, try to communicate as I've been doing monthly on our talk show here now for a number of years. And I've also launched a biweekly podcast. It was called Power H Radio.